Welcome to Up On Game Presents
Coast to Coast,
the Some Dude Show.
It's go time.
Hosted by Cuffs the Legend, a.k.a. Some Dude. Cuffs will be keeping it spicy with some of the biggest names in sports, culture, and entertainment. Welcome to the Some Dude Show.
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
And now, here's Cuffs the Legend.
Yes. Welcome back to the Some Dude Show. Welcome back to the Some Dude Show, y'all. I'm your host, Cuffs the Legend. College basketball is back. College basketball season is back, baby. And you guys know I'm right here in ACC country. I'm right here in the backyard. UNC Tar Heels, Duke Blue Devils. But I had to go down to Atlanta, Georgia today. The new head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets live on the Some Dude Show. I'm going to read the resume real quick. Because this guy right here is the new head coach of Georgia Tech, but he's also a college basketball legend, an NBA legend, the seventh pick in the 1995 NBA draft, three-time first-team All-Pac-10 at Arizona, the Arizona Wildcat legend, 1995-1996 NBA Rookie of the Year with those Toronto Raptors. He played 13 NBA seasons. Some people call him Mighty Mouse. But we're going to call him right here on the Some Dude Show a living legend. We want to welcome to the Some Dude Show the Arizona Wildcat, new head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, Damon Stoudemire.
Cuffs, what's up, baby?
Man, how you feeling today, man? Like, welcome. For first off, I want to say welcome to ACC country, man. Like, to give you a quick backstory, I was born and raised in North Carolina, ACC territory. I'm right around the corner from Duke, UNC, you know. But actually, I was actually a big Georgia Tech fan as a kid growing up. Like, Kenny Anderson, Dennis Scott, Brian Oliver Days, Lethal Weapon 3 Days, Marbury, John right. Barry. I was one of those kids that I used to get a lot of flack in school because it was such of a big Duke UNC territory, and I was always outcast where I went against the grain. So for my 12th birthday, my pops got me a Georgia Tech hat, and it got stolen. And, like, I was one of those guys. Kenny Anderson was my guy. I wore number 12 in high school because of Kenny. And now to see you over at Georgia Tech, man, how does it feel to be in ACC country right now?
Man, it feels crazy. You know, not going to lie, I didn't ever think I'd be on this side of the world coaching. You know what I mean? So but it's been great. It's been great. Atlanta, nice city. Tech, a great institute. And like you said, ACC, I mean, it's a little different, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, it's just, you know, it's a lot of, it's a lot of Carolina Duke.
Yes.
You know, but at the same time too, man, like, I really like that. You know what I mean? I like that. I embrace that. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons they got me here.
Yes. Welcome back to the Some Dude Show. College basketball is back. NBA is back. NFL is back. And guess who else is back? My Bookie is back. Head on over to MyBookieAG. That's MyBookie.ag. Y'all know I'm a parlay guy, right? I got some advice for y'all right here on the Some Dude Show. My Baltimore Ravens, they're looking real spooky right now. MyBookie.ag, they have my Baltimore Ravens at plus 860 right now. So guess what Some Dude is going to do? I'm going to bet that bacon on the Baltimore Ravens plus 860. Head on over to MyBookie.ag. They've been in the game over a decade. And my favorite thing about MyBookie.ag is it doesn't matter where I live or where I'm traveling. I can always bet on MyBookie.ag. I can be international. I can be global. I can be local. It doesn't matter. I can bet from anywhere. NBA, NFL, what are we talking about? MyBookie.ag. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And when you win this money on my bookie, fellas, when you win this money, because you're going to win this money on my bookie, but when you win this money, don't tell your old lady. Don't let her know. So how has the recruiting trail been for you being at Georgia Tech? This is your first year. I know it's a lot of talent in the state of Georgia. I know people always talk about football in Georgia, but how has the recruiting trail been since you've been the head coach now?
Recruiting's been cool, you know, and I think, like, the biggest thing when you first come in, you're just trying to figure out the lay of the land, as with anything. And I have went, you know, I've been in the pros, so, you know, I kind of turned off the college antenna, you know. So, like, my first year out, when I got to Boston, I wasn't even really thinking about college basketball. I quit watching because the NBA game is so different compared to college. So, you know, now coming back, you know, I had to turn on that antenna, you know, but, you know, I'm dialed in. You know, I still held my relationships, you know, and after the spring, I was able, you know, to get my pulse back on the kids, you know, some of the 24s, 25s, 26. So, you know, it's like, man, right now, I'm just adjusting my body back to that clock of cuffs. You know what it is, man. It's like an everyday thing. It don't stop. So, you know, just figuring all that out, man, and getting back to this 24/7 grind.
We live on the Some Dude Show, y'all, with Damon Stoudemire, head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, NBA legend. So what's the difference between coaching those NBA players? Like, you spent some time with the Celtics the last couple years. What's the difference between coaching those college players and the NBA players? Like, what's the difference now? Because you got the NIL, you got social media climate. What's the difference now between the two?
I mean, all of the stuff that's going on in college, in terms of that, like you said, the NIL and all that, that don't bother me none. That, you know, for me, like, kids should be getting paid. You know, I just think, like, the one caveat to it all that nobody talk about is when you get paid, it becomes a little more expectation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think it's a two-way street now, but they didn't look at it that way. Nobody looks at it that way. So the same way you holding coaches, schools, collectors accountable, shit, we holding you accountable the same way now. you gotta come produce the same way now. Like, this thing worked both ways. And, you know, between that, you know, but the biggest thing for me, it's the IQ of the game. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think, you know, I tell people this all the time. What we fail to realize is that the game, the NBA game, has changed over the years. Some say for the good, some say for the bad, but this is what I will say. Like, you gotta be more IQ. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have a great feel for the game, it's gonna be hard for you out there. Cause you just don't know. You know, and they don't, you know, and the thing about it is, what you don't know, you gotta teach. So I would say that's been the biggest thing. And, you know, with the amount of time and the limits that they're giving you, I honestly wish now, you know, kids is getting money, you know, everything has changed. Like, it need to be unlimited basketball. Do basketball when you want to do basketball.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be no limit on basketball. Why? We're getting paid now. Guys are getting paid. Like, why is there a limit on basketball now? Yeah. you know what I'm saying?
You're saying, like, the facilities, everything. You should be playing year-round, working on your craft year-round.
Well, you should be able to do that without restrictions, meaning we shouldn't still have to dock hours a week.
Yeah.
You know, how many hours a week are we practicing? Like, man, if we want to practice in the morning, then come back at night and get some skill, well, why are we doing that? Because now, like, there's more of a microscope on it, and that's what people don't really understand. Like, as a head coach in college, a lot of times you gotta say, okay, am I working on the skill development part? I'm working on Georgia Tech and my team part. Which one I need to do today? Which one I got to pick?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they still got that window where they got to go to school. And so that's where I think, like, a lot of times, you know, and I wouldn't say sensitive is the word, but I think I'm a little more privy to the information. Like, man, it's not easy to balance that. It's not easy to balance that. A lot of people say, well, such and such went to this school or whatever, and he didn't get no better. Well, the reality of it is, there ain't a whole lot of time to get better if that kid don't want to get better now.
Ooh.
See, because we always say, you know, and we always recruiting kids, and they say, I'm a gym rat. Like I always say, that remains to be seen, because when I get you on campus now, we're going to see what kind of gym rat you are. Do you just want to work out when you want to work out? Because that's not gym rat.
Yeah,
because
when you were in Arizona, were you one of those type of guys, you, Khalil Reeves, were you one of those guys where they had to turn the lights out at the facility for you? Because you was in there that much?
Well, truth be told, no doubt. No doubt. And we ran it different. So when I was at Arizona, like my workout guy, the dude who trained me in Portland, he used to come down and train the team. See, back then it was even worse because coaches couldn't even work with us until the first day of practice.
Oh.
And then not only that, man, dudes, coaches wasn't doing nothing. Man, it was old school. Hey, man, I shoot 10, you shoot 10. You know what I'm saying? You know, you shoot 10, I shoot 10. Rebound for each other, all right? You know what I mean? And that's how it was. So, you know, it's just, you know, to make it nowadays, you know, it's there for you, but it's just so different. And I think the rules, they don't align with actually what's going on in 2023 to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you are a West Coast guy. You're from Portland, born and raised.
Yeah.
You coached on the West Coast a lot. Then you came to the Celtics. And coming to Georgia Tech, like, I feel like me watching it from afar, like I said, I was a kid watching Kenny Anderson. I wore number 12 right. in high school because of Kenny. Dennis Scott, I love right. those guys. John Berry, James Forrest. The list goes on.
Right.
But have you had success with restoring the culture as far as the old alumni, the Georgia Tech alumni getting more engaged? Because I feel like a lot of these younger kids now in high school, they might not necessarily understand the rich tradition at Georgia Tech because they really have a strong tradition. They just got to I feel like they got to reignite it, and you're going to do that. Help do that.
Yeah, 100%. You know, so some of those guys that you've named, I've obviously, you know, reached out, talked to. I would say the most consistent that I've talked to right now, you know, is Dennis and James. You know, I've talked to Kenny. I've even talked to Steph. You know, I'm trying to get, you know, now that for me, like, you know, because we compete against each other, I want Steph back. You know what I mean? You know, I think that'll be, you know, that's nostalgic in a lot of ways. And I think that he's a guy that when he was here at Tech, for even although a short period of time, it was a great time for him. And I've talked to Mark Price, who a lot of people probably don't even remember. But I'm like, if it wasn't for Mark Price, it might not have been a Kenny Anderson. Wasn't nothing to sell.
Yeah.
Basketball-wise, you could always sell the city, man. But Mark Price, man, I tell people all the time, Mark Price, the first dude to split the defense in the pick and roll. Facts. You can go pull it up on tape. He was shooting runners from 17 feet.
Yeah, he was. He was cold before the knee injuries. Before the
man.
Injuries, Mark Price was giving the Chicago Bulls Michael Jordan hell. They was giving the Bulls
man.
Hell.
Man, Mark Price gave me work on bad knees when I got into the league.
So Damon, how did you originally, I always wanted to know this watching you when I was in high school, how did you originally get the nickname Mighty Mouse?
Man, I don't know, man. You know.
Because I see you, David. I see you, bro. I see you on Instagram. You doing box jumps. You just turned 50. How many are you scoring right now if you played in a men's adult league right now? How many are you dropping right now? I know you still got it. I know you still got the toolbox.
So, man, look, here's the deal. Like, I probably quit playing for real at about 46.
Ooh.
45, 46. And if I was in a men's league, the knees don't necessarily work like that no more. But if I got somebody that can play off the bounce, man, and can wiggle a little bit, I still can knock down that wide open J though.
that's like riding a bike, right? That's like riding
a bike. No doubt.
So you were the rookie of the year in 95-96. You averaged 19-9 as a rookie in Toronto. How were you able to adapt to the NBA game so easy as a rookie? Like back in those days, like it was a big man's league, a lot of bigs clogging the paint, but you adjusted from day one. Like how were you able to adapt so quickly coming from Arizona?
You know, I think that, you know, I was older. You know, that's number one. I think that a lot of times, You know, being older, you don't get a lot of credit because they don't really, you know, in today's basketball, you know, they draft more off, you know, talent and, you know, what they see moving forward in the future. But back then it was the known. And so me going from college to Toronto to the NBA game, man, it was like my practices at Arizona was like NBA practices. You know, I went against Khalid Reeves for 3 years and he was lottery pick. You know, and so that counts for something. Because he was literally the best guard I played against in college, and I played against him every day, with the exception of Jason Kidd. So for me, you know, then finally getting to the NBA, you know, I'll be honest with you on the initial, because it was totally different. You know, man, we practiced 2.5. As a matter of fact, training camp, I was just telling one of the kids on the squad, asked me about training camp. And I told him, I said, man, I played for Brendan Malone, Michael Malone's son, my first year. Man, we practiced from 9 to 12. Then we came back from 5 to 8, and we did that for 2 weeks. Then we went and played exhibition games. And back then, it was 8 exhibition games.
That was like a high school season.
So, you know, for me, I was blessed to be an older guy, you know, getting there at 21, you know. But, you know, I was able to adjust, and I had a lot of help. Isaiah Thomas, you know, obviously, you know, being there. You know, being executive with Toronto, he helped me out a lot. We talked a lot. We talked about different things. I mean, the organization really poured into me. I would say this, you know, being that it was an expansion franchise, man, once I started off really strong, they was going to make sure that I didn't fail. So
you had Canby on that squad. They put some good pieces around you from the start.
Yeah. So that second year, that's when Marcus came. MC came that second year. And then that third year is when we drafted Mac. And probably the biggest thing, you know, probably one of the biggest regrets, I say this, and you know, it is what it is. You know, I don't really dwell on it. I don't really talk about it a whole lot. But one of my biggest regrets, because it's business, right? Like, I should have stayed in Toronto just to kind of see how that played out. We had Mac. I knew Mac was going to be good. He was just young. But I ended up getting traded in 98. The lockout came. You remember the lockout came. Then they draft Vince.
Yep.
So you could have had me. You could have had me, Mac, and Vince as your 1, 2, 3. And then you had MC as your 5.
Ooh, that was tough.
Like man, ain't nobody just put anybody in at the 4. It don't matter.
Y'all might have gave the Bulls some real competition, man. Them old legs, Mike from North Carolina, one of my favorites. But the Bulls were kind of older. They were kind of older then. So
yeah,
who was your toughest individual matchups? Because you was a small guard, and I seen Michael Jordan on record saying that you gave him hell. You gave a lot of the bigger guards hell. But you being a smaller, crafty guard, who was your toughest matchup?
Man, it's always different, right? You know, and I think like most fans will say it must be, you know, Allen, you know, like Allen Iverson. I'm gonna stay right there for a second because he was probably the toughest matchup. You had to listen. He ain't getting no sleep at night, but you had to get some sleep at night. Feel me? I always say that.
He was tossing, turning into Ritz Carlton, like boy.
You feel me? Yeah. But I would say like when you playing against a guy like that, right? You say to yourself, "Well, look, he lead the league in scoring. If I make him take 30 shots and he got 30 points, I did my job."
Yeah.
So you know you never felt bad about a dude that was getting his against everybody like that. So let's just put him in the stratosphere by himself. You know what I'm saying? To me, the guys that were hard to guard were those shoddy fishing dudes. So this guy always comes off, you know, I rattle off these two dudes right out the gate because, you know, they for me. Like they were really tough covers. Man, Kevin Johnson.
Oh, man.
Man, Kevin Johnson.
He had bounce, too. He had bounce.
So KJ used to get so low, and he had that crossover below the knee, or he had the treadmill between the legs.
Yeah, the scissors. That scissors.
Yes. And he just go. And if you wasn't careful, he was going to put it on your head. And the thing about KJ was that you give him 16 shots counting the fouls that he was going to get going to the cup, and you talking about 30-plus on 16, 17 shots.
Yeah, quiet.
And the thing about it was that was dangerous for me. I didn't – that always made me nervous. So when you play against a guy like him, your best offense, your best defense was your offense because you had to go back at him. You know what I'm saying? And so then it became what coach going to take out? Which one he going to take out first because they can't guard the other?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then the second one I would say was Chris Jackson, a.k.a. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. Like my man right there.
He can pull up.
Like he.
his release was so quick off the dribble. It freezes you.
So, and I tell people this, like, due to his disease, he was a perfectionist. It made him a perfectionist.
Yeah, I saw the story where he said when he makes shots, he doesn't even like for it to touch the rim at all.
Yeah, man, look, I'll never forget first time when he was in Denver. We playing the first game we played in my rookie year, he wasn't there. So he didn't play. And so second game, we play in Denver. And I'm sitting there, and they're doing introductions. And then I look over there to my left, and I see Pam Grier. I'm like, damn, Pam Grier at the game. And then I was like, man, quit looking at Pam Grier, man. You got to guard this dude tonight. I was like, oh, man. And so it's one of them things, again, you don't want to let him hit his first shot because it's going to be a long night. Now you're having visions of watching him when he played in college. I remember when he hit Florida up for 51 as a freshman and fouled out their whole back court. So I'm sitting up there and I'm thinking about all kinds of stuff.
You have a nightmare.
You know what I'm saying?
You have a nightmare.
You know what I mean? I'm like, man, I got dude and you know your boys, you know how it is, man. You about to play that first game, so everybody hitting you up. Hey man, you got AI tonight, man. What you gonna do? Hey man, you got KJ tonight, man. What you gonna do, man? You got Chris Jackson tonight, man. What you gonna do? And I'm just like, you know, so I'm not going to lie. AI in the stratosphere by himself, you know, but KJ, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, and then in terms of strength, right? You know, because you got those are two wigglers. But then in terms of strength, the strong guards, Steph and Tim Hardaway.
Ooh. Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway was listed at like 5'11", maybe 5'10", but he was strong.
Man, strong as an ox, man. You know, Tim was strong. He competed, you know, and so he always had a chip on his shoulder because, you know, he in his mind, he came out of nowhere. So, you know, I tell people this all the time. He one of them dudes that he was going to let you know how he was feeling on that night too. See, a lot of dudes, and back then I felt like it was a mutual respect. Dudes winning dudes hard, but it was a mutual respect. But Tim, like, young fella, I got you tonight.
he was spicy. He was keeping
his spicy. Yeah, young fella, I got you tonight. I mean, but you know, back then too, back then I tell people, and man, dudes, like, when you played, like, you didn't talk to dudes like that. Like, there was a mutual respect for each other. But, like, if I went to the, like, if we went out and I seen somebody that I was about to play, man, I ain't talk to him that night.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know you, bro. I don't know you.
like we wasn't doing that one. You know, but, you know, it was, those dudes, though, man, they were really, 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 really tough to guard, though.
Has that changed post-career, though? Now when you see guys at certain events or just traveling, it's like y'all the OGs now. Like, it's always going to be a community in the NBA. And when you were competing, like you said, it was all about winning. So it's like you had, like, a boundary between y'all sometimes, imaginary beef, as I call it. But now that y'all retired, I'm sure you run into guys all the time, even in the airport or something. It's like, yo, what's up? What's up, GP or guys? So be honest with me, Damon. Be honest, man. I'm not going to hold you too much longer. Be honest with me. 2000, Blazers.
Yeah.
Is that the best team to never win a championship?
It's one of them, man. It is. It's one of them. I get really mad about that. That team in a lot of different ways too. You know, I really do. Because we was that close. We was that close. And then, you know, sometimes I get mad because when I think back on it, you know, I think, and it's tough for me to say, man, but I think as you get a little older, you're a little honest, man. We didn't totally pay the price neither. Make sense?
Yeah.
We didn't totally pay the price, man. We wasn't, you know, we was bought in to a certain extent. Maybe some of my former teammates agree with that. Maybe they don't. But I would even debate them. Man, we ain't paid the price for that. We wasn't all bought in. Mm. You know, we knew we had a lot of talent, you know, and collective talent, we was better than the Lakers, but they were mentally tougher than us. Because if they weren't mentally tougher than us, they wouldn't have won that game.
Yeah. Down 15 in the fourth.
They wouldn't have won that game. It ain't even nothing to talk about. We needed to score one bucket to break the run at the right time. And we couldn't get that bucket, but that team was one of the best teams I've been on for a lot of different reasons, because it was one of the funnest teams I've been on. We did everything together. We hung together. When we was on the road, we went out together. We ate together. We partied together, like our families. Like, it was a great team. Like, it was a great, great team that didn't win. And you know, honestly, I've never even really watched the game.
I know that
we lost.
That's why I want to ask you, because I know, man, this as a human being, now that you're older, I know you sit around. Yeah. Sometimes you might be staring at random objects on the back porch like, yo, we had the Lakers down by 15. Rasheed Wallace, Scotty, Steve Smith, Arvydas Sabonis, and even Bonzi Wells is with you at Georgia Tech now. Like, how's that happening with your former teammate, Bonzi Wells? Because his game was underrated in the post, footwork, big guard. Yep. He's going to bring a lot of value to your program as well.
Yep. No, Bonzi's been great. You know, I'm really happy for him, you know, because, you know, listen, it's not hard to get in this coaching. It's not hard to transform yourself, man. And, you know, Bonzi, you know, he's done a great job so far. That's my guy. I'm with him. I love him like my younger brother, you know, and the kids love him, more importantly, but he's been great. He's been great up to this point.
So, Damon, you were on the Celtics coaching staff for 2 years. Keep it spicy with me, man. We seen the breaking news. Damian Lillard has been traded to the Bucks, right? And then we see Drew Holiday go to the Celtics. Is this the year you coach Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown? You've been with those guys. I'm a fan of those guys. Do you feel like this is finally the year for that duo right there to get over the hump? They added Drew Holiday. This has to be championship right now for Boston. They have to be in championship mode this year.
Yeah, I think that they'll be right there. I it's so tough to win, man. And again, right? You know, a lot of people don't really look at what I look at, you know, because when you're in the trenches, man, you just see it a little different, right? But, man, you know, we, even with that crew we had our first year in Boston, man, we was 3.5 minutes from going up 3-1.
Yeah, man.
And Steph Curry didn't have his best series against us, but, man, he had the best 3 minutes in the finals. and that one that won that game. And walking back, I'll never forget as a coach walking back to that locker room, right? Because I was on in my head, I was saying, because as a player, I had never made it to the finals, but I had been. And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, you know what? If we go up 3-1, we're gonna win the championship. I said, but if they somehow, this is when the game was on, if they somehow figure out how to win this game, ain't no way we coming back. Man, we got to get on a 6-hour flight to go to San Francisco. You know, I'm just looking on. And, man, when they won that game, it sounded like, you know, they knew they caught up. They knew they dodged the bullet. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the first time during that whole series where I heard chatter from their locker room.
Oh, you can hear them. You can hear them down the hall.
Oh, you can hear them. Oh, you heard them. You heard them. Because our locker rooms were right next to each other. And so you heard them, right? And I was like, damn, this shit over. I did. I said that. I said, I don't know how we going to regroup. They going home. We got to regroup. We got to pick ourselves up, get on the plane first thing in the morning, fly 6 hours, go through media, do all this stuff. And, you know, the last two games, that's what it looked like.
It's like all the wind was knocked out of yourselves. It's showing you how mental the game is.
Right. And so I say all that to say this. Getting Jrue Holiday helps. But when it gets to those spicy moments, you know, and, you know, let's be honest, because I know those guys, so I know how they think. And regular season don't even matter, man. Like, it's almost like let us do what we need to do. Let us get to the conference. Let us get to the semifinals. Let me not get ahead of myself. When it get to the semifinals, that's where it get real, right? And so, conference semifinals. And so, for me, when I look at that team, I think Jason and Jalen and you know, all the guys that was there, you know, and then adding Jrue, they got to do their thing. But, man, my eyes is on Kristaps Porzingis.
Yes, that's
– He got to play, dog.
He got to play.
Because here it is. Right now, today, we can't go on what they might do or might add. It's him and Big Al. They traded Rob. Like, man, Rob helped. And he was good. He was a good soldier. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you Rob knew. You know, injuries aside, you knew when he played what he was going to do. You knew what he brought to the table. And I've been in Boston. And it's a great organization. But, you know, he has to play. He has to play well. Period. Like, there ain't no ifs, no ands, and no buts. Because to your point, like, it's on the line, man.
It's time.
It's on the line.
It's time.
It's on the line.
JT, I'm a fan, man. JT, JB, because I see those guys. If they can just get one under their belt, they can go on a run. They can go on a 2 or 3. And,
right.
But it has got to get over that mental hurdle, I feel like, especially.
Yeah, and that's why I say 100%. But let me tell you this. Because they're going to get over it. They are going to get over it. But you know what I love about – this is what I love about the organization. I really do. I love this about them. They've resisted the temptation to break them up.
Yes.
They haven't allowed the outside influences to break them up, because I was on the inside. And they don't have no issues. But for whatever reason, you know, man, like, the outside world – tries to put something between them that ain't there. It's not fair. It's not fair to them.
It's all imaginary, basically. It's all imaginary.
It is. So now I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to watching this season, man. This should be one of the more exciting basketball seasons in a long time.
I agree, man. I just hope everybody stays healthy, man.
Healthy, yes.
But, Coach, it sounds funny calling you Coach, man, because we're not too far off in age, even though you just hit the 50 ball on me. You hit the 50 ball on me, but you in great shape, my brother. Before I let you go, give me your all-time left-handed guards. I know, like, you watch a lot of different guys. Who were the guys that you really patterned your game after, those crafty lefties? Because, bro – watching you get in that paint at 5'10", you're really 5'10", right? 5'10"?
You know, I'm 5'9". I'm 5'9".
Your driver's license probably say
I'm 5'9". It said 5'11" in high school, and then I started shrinking as I got, you know, when you get older, man, you shrink.
Yeah, you shrink. So you was one of those guys, man. You used to get in the lane, floater package, pull up game. Who was your all time left hand guards, the crafty lefties?
All right, so if you look at, for me, I'm going on the guys that I can remember playing. Now, it's obviously some before me, but, you know, I'm just in no particular order. I'm just going to start rattling them off, you know, but Nate Tiny Archibald, man, that was the one. That was the one that started it for me. And when I called him, he was with Boston. So, you know, he didn't have to do as much, but he was crafty, you know, knew how to keep people off balance. You know, then you had John Lucas. You know, John was that lefty had that kind of awkward off balance game.
Yep.
You know, and then you had Kenny Anderson. You know, you can't never forget about that. And Kenny, for me, as a left handed guard, he was the one. I wasn't as big, I wasn't as tall as him, man, but he was the one that you said, damn, he took that thing to another level, right?
That behind the back on Bobby Hurley at Georgia Tech all time.
Yes, 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 all time. Hey, look, I went and recreated. I recreated in that spot when I got the job too. I went over there and shook right in that spot and did the same thing. I did the Kenny. I called that the Kenny A.
Bop.
And then first time I played against Quick, Nick Van Exel. You know Van Exel. You know Nick is. Same way, man. Same way.
That's my guy, man. Shout out to Nick, man. I've been trying to get Nick to come on the show. We've been talking.
Yes,
but
sir.
Shout out to Nick Van Exel. Coach,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Thank you, man, pulling up to the Some Dude Show on this glorious football Sunday, man. Let the people know where they can follow you on social media. Georgia Tech basketball is back, bro. Let them know where they can follow you.
Man, you can follow me at D_Stoudemire. And, more importantly, on both platforms, what is it now? X.
Yes.
X and IG. But more importantly, you know, get on this Georgia Tech bandwagon because buy low right now because in about 12 to 24 months, I'm accepting all seats, but it might not be a lot of seats left.
Let's go. Y'all hear him. Damon Stoudemire, Georgia Tech basketball is back. I got to pull out the Kenny Anderson throwback jersey. I'm gonna pull up on you, Coach. When y'all come to Duke, when y'all come to Durham, I'm going to pull up on y'all and support, man. Bro,
I
appreciate you pulling up, giving me your time, man. We'll be in touch for sure, Coach. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, Coach. Thanks, baby. Appreciate you. All right.
Yeah, Damon Stoudemire, man. That's some real nostalgia right there for y'all basketball lovers on the Some Dude Show. iHeart Radio, Fox Sports Radio, up on Game Network. Man, y'all remember the Damon Stoudemire Nikes? I forgot to ask him about those Damon Stoudemire Nikes in the East Bay catalog. Oh, my God, man. Man, that was some nostalgia right there. Left hand. You know how many days I used to watch Damon Stoudemire highlights trying to perfect that stop on the dime pull up round about that left elbow? Man, Some Dude Show.